You this morning again in the precious name of Jesus. Precious because He died for me. Precious because He didn't leave me sitting here. He went to glory. Precious because He said, I'm coming back to take you home. Precious because someday we're going to be on the other side of that river resting. Worshiping. The struggles are all over. I've been thinking a lot about heaven lately. Do I so desire to be with Jesus that I'm willing my desires to suffer for Him? I have no idea what suffering is. But there's brothers and sisters today that know what suffering is. Just some thoughts that have been going through my mind. We've been going through Ephesians, the first chapter. Where you stand this morning, I'm not asking you to open your Bibles at this point. But if you can, I'd like for you to stand. I'm going to read Ephesians 1 again. And I want to read you as Calvary Chapel. And I want you to think about this as I read. Could Paul really say that about me? We hear that we got together this morning to have church. No, we didn't. We are the church. Each one of us are the church. If everybody was like us, what kind of church would we have? And I want you to think about this morning, as this letter that Paul wrote, if it was written specifically to you, could he say what he's saying? I guess the Lord just shook my foundations a little bit as I was reading through this. Lynn's had to make a lot of changes. Listen to this letter. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people at Calvary Chapel in Sturgis, Michigan, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure. And this is His plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now that you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you, long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. You may be seated. I've titled my message this morning, A Prayer of Blessing. We're going to begin in verse 15, hopefully go to the end of the chapter. Verse 15, Paul talks about faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. I've been looking at faith and love. Can we separate those two? I texted Tom yesterday or the day before, I'm not sure, and I asked him. This morning I texted the rest of the ministry team, and I asked them, can we separate faith and love? I got two answers, and I believe they were both right. Faith expresses itself in love. We're going to go on a little further here, and we'll understand this just a bit more, I hope. Faith and love are both evidence that we are participating in the work of God. If we are in the work of God, they're both going to be evident. Galatians 5:6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Matthew Henry has something to say about this. And it took me a couple times reading this to understand it. He says, "No external privileges, nor profession, nothing on the outside or our profession will avail to our acceptance with God without sincere faith in our Lord Jesus." In other words, we can look good, we can do good, but God does not accept that unless we have faith and love. Faith, where it is true, is a working grace. It works by love. Love to God. Love to the brothers. How many of you remember? Maybe you don't. I'm not sure. Steve Stutzman was here and he talked about our love to God. And I remember Steve standing over here and he was telling us, unless your love to God is where it needs to be, your love for your fellow man is not going to happen. We try to do that. We try to love our brothers. And it fails because our love for God is not real. It can't happen. Faith thus working by love is all in our Christianity. Galatians 5 verse 13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, moral liberty, ceremonial liberty, liberty from the law of performance. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." I believe a sure way of determining whether we're using this liberty that God has given us, whether we're using it for our own desires and our own flesh, or we're using it for God, is by how we serve each other. Is everything about me? Is everything about what I want? If that's how it is, I'm afraid we're missing something. Am I benefiting the brotherhood by my love? A verse that has been used here, I don't know how many times in the last probably 6-7 messages. John 4:11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. John 13:34, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. We could say that I've given you a new commandment. As I loved, that's how you are to love. How did Jesus love? Somebody respond to that. How did Jesus love? Sacrificially. He gave his life for us. Am I willing to sacrifice my wants, my desires for the love of the brotherhood? He says we are to love like he loved. Now I'm going to do something that scares me a little bit, and I hope it scares you just a bit. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth itself not, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not rude. Doesn't seek her own. It's not selfish. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Now we'll drop down to verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. They're all important. But unless our faith is in Christ, unless we know where we are with the Lord, walking with Him daily, we don't have agape love. We have a love, a sensual earthly love, but we do not have agape love. Agape love can only come as we walk with Jesus. Matthew 7:21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I guess I want to bless you as a congregation here. I see a lot of good happening in our church here. But there's something that I've been thinking about that I think maybe has touched us here just a bit. And I want to be careful how I say this. Is there a possibility in my walk with the Lord that I'm so busy doing earthly things that I don't have time for the brotherhood? I don't have time for a Bible study with my brothers. I don't have time to go to my brother's house in the evening and just to sit around God's Word and fellowship. We have no problem with fellowship dinner back here. We love to fellowship. Sitting around a plate of food and fellowshipping is good. I love that. I'm sure you do too. But what about fellowshipping around the Word of God? I'm going to leave a challenge with you here this morning. When we lived in San Antonio, I had two brothers that would come over to the house. They challenged me over and over. We'd invite them over for a meal. We'd invite them over just to fellowship. But there's one thing they just about always carried. They would always come in with their Bible. They didn't want a fellowship just around food. They wanted the Word of God. Is my fellowship, my desire for fellowship with God, so strong that I'd rather worship around the Word of God than around food? That I like fellowship with the brothers in the Scriptures? I guess I challenge each one of us with that this morning. Paul had a lot of good to say about this church. I think if Paul wrote to us today, he had a lot of good to say about us. But the challenge is, am I willing to lay down some of my own wants, my own desires, my own schedules? Can I take one less job for the idea of sitting and fellowshipping with my brother? Like I say, I want to bless you because we have a wonderful congregation here. When I love the brethren, when I love my church family, I'm going to seek to bless them. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," and this word fault is meaning sin, "ye which are spiritual," those of you that are regenerate, if we're walking with Christ, he's saying, "restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The burdens that he's talking about are the sins of the brotherhood. We're all human. None of us are perfect outside of Christ. We need each other. We need brothers and sisters to go to each other, to walk alongside of each other. Put their arms around them and tell them, "I'll walk with you." We need to be willing to let them walk with us. If I love the brethren, I'm going to forgive them. Colossians 3:13 says, "Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any," excuse me, "even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Forgiving the brotherhood. Letting go, holding no grudges. There's nothing better than being able to experience complete freedom. You want to be a hostage? Don't forgive. If we don't forgive, we become a hostage to a situation that does not have a positive ending. If we had the opportunity, you had the opportunity, this scares me too. You had the opportunity to go talk to the people that I associate with throughout the week. What would they say about me? Would they say there's a man that believes? Would they say he's a Christian? I didn't know. What would they say about me? What would they say about you? Verse 16, Paul talks about thankfulness. He's thankful for the body. Sorry, I'm in the wrong book here. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit," I'm sorry, in the wrong verse, "cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." I guess this is why I titled our message, "A Prayer of Blessing." Paul was blessing the church. He's saying, "I give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." How many times do I pray for the church body? I'd hate to tell you how many times that I specifically named names in the church body like I should have. There are some here that have told me we pray for everybody every day. And I bless you for that. What would happen if we get on our knees and we start praying for the church family, specifically for brothers and sisters? And I'm not saying you don't. There's some that do. But what would happen if I got on my knees every day and I prayed for the church family? I knew a brother or sister that's struggling. I knew a brother or sister that seems like they're always victorious. We all need prayers. What would happen if we did that? I believe we'd have a greater, not sure what word to use, a greater appreciation for the church body. It wouldn't be so hard for me to give up some of my time to go bless my brother. And there's something else that it would do. And I don't like this, because you can see into my life. It would make me transparent. Transparency means that you can see inside my life. You can see the dirt, the filth, the trash that's there. Why is it so hard for us to be transparent? God sees us anyhow. He sees all through us. He knows what's in us. We have a pride that we have a hard time letting go of. I say we. I believe it's very important that we are transparent with our brothers and sisters. That we open up to each other. Maybe not everybody needs to know, but maybe there's one brother, one sister you can go to. That you can seek prayer. Iron sharpens iron, Proverbs says. We need each other. We need to talk to each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to bless each other. Paul was thanking God for their steadfastness, praying for their continued growth. Then in verse 17, he starts telling us a little bit about the context of this prayer that he's talking about. He's asking God to give them the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom so they might grow. Knowledge so they might understand. Know Him in a deeper, closer way. I want you to listen to this little verse that I have here. It's not enough to know God once, but we must know Him every day more and more. No, we do not receive Christ into our hearts more than one time. But it's not enough to take that initial giving our hearts to the Lord and thinking, now I've got it. But we need to know Jesus every day. We need to go deeper with Him more and more every day. Paul was desiring that they would have spiritual eyes that they could see. Are my eyes open? Or do I have it made? Am I spiritually where I need to be? I don't need more. No. Paul wanted their eyes to be open so they could see. So they could understand the positive hope they have of an eternal future in His presence. Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Verse 11, we looked at inheritance. What kind of an inheritance that we have? An inheritance that I think maybe even starts now because we have peace. An inheritance when we get to glory cannot be reversed. That is forever sure. But I want us to see something in verse 18. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Did you know that you're His inheritance? You mean to tell me that Jesus really wants me as His inheritance? That's what it says here. To me, that's precious. God wants me with Him in glory. He wants every one of you in glory with Him. We are his inheritance. Exodus 19:5 says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant," those are conditions he was given to them. He said, "Then shall you be a peculiar treasure." This peculiar treasure talks about a jewel. You're going to be precious in his sight. "You will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." And then I have to bring in Isaiah 43:1, my favorite verse. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." That's precious. You're God's. He says, "I want you as my inheritance. I am preparing a place for you." We cannot imagine what is ahead of us in eternal glory. Neither can we imagine what is ahead of us if we miss it. Malachi 3:17, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Then in Titus 2:14, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." His desire is that we are with him. And then verse 19 through the end, he talks a lot about his power to us who are believers. There are two powers out there today. We have the power of darkness, we have the power of light. Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." God's power, his great power, beyond what we can fully grasp. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power that seated him at the right hand of the Father. This is the same power directed towards those that believe. Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Turn in Romans, in your Bibles, to Romans chapter 8. There's some verses here of promise, verses of comfort that I want us to get a hold of this morning. If we are walking with him, if our daily walk is pleasing him, if we have that connection with the Father, then we have this promise in verse 38 of Romans 8. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither life nor death," "for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I have often taken this and I have looked at it as Jesus having his hand out. We're standing in the hand of Jesus. He's never going to snap us off of there. He's never going to say, "No, you're not good enough. You're out of here." If we're walking with him, we are covered by his blood. His grace is sufficient. That doesn't mean I'm not going to have to get on my knees from time to time and come back and confess and change my ways. But it means we're going to be going deeper. But we are in his hand. There is a possibility that we can go and we can jump off of there. God forbid what Marcus was saying this morning. We never want to turn back. But he's never going to take us and push us out of his hand if we continue our walk with him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ Jesus. He's been made head over the church, which you and I are part of. We are the church.
We're his body, working together under the power and authority of him. That's where things start going wrong, is when we get out from underneath his authority. We become bigger. Through him we receive light, spiritual direction, power, and power to live in unity with each other. We have this possibility that we make a light that we follow. Man-made lights. But let's not lose our focus. He alone is the light. My challenge this morning is for us to be a people of blessing. A people that walk close to him. A people that reach out to each other. A people that pray for each other. Kindly urging each other to a closer walk with him. No man is an island. We need each other. We're not on our own. I want to read verse 15 and 16 again. Now I'm going to read this in a different version. It says, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly." Can I make that commitment this morning that I will pray for the brotherhood? You're going to find there's changes that happen in your life as you pray, as you lift them to the throne. Again, I just want to say that we need each other. We can't do this on our own. Together, with the love of Christ, with his word, there are battles that can be won if we're willing. But it takes transparency. Let's stand for closing prayer. Again, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are always true. What you say, Lord, stands. We thank you, Father, that you're not going to push us out. That we have the promise that you'll always be there for us. Father, would you help each heart here this morning to be willing to be transparent, to be willing to walk side by side with a brother or sister, whether it's helping or whether it's being helped. Thank you for the body. We just ask your blessing on the congregation here this morning, each person present. Would you dismiss us now with your word? In your name we pray. Amen.